Yesodos of Sefer Yoina. Okay. First, there like some things are just interesting ideas, and some more elaborate. The first thing is to be aware. A very interesting medrash is that when we say we commonly say every day, I mean every day, depends how often, the Shulam Alois v'Cholim, and one of the popular Shulam Alois that we recite is Shir Hamalois Mima Makim Kirasicho Hashem. I call out to you from the depths, according to the medrash. Okay, it's not even, it's a mission, it's a medrash, and it's a Zohar Kodosh, and it's a medrash. It says that it was Yonah was the one who is the author of these words. David HaMelech, as you know, alright, we'll see later. I have to do some adjustments. Yonah HaMelech was the one who, according to the Medrash, Yonah Hanavi is one, according to the Medrash, the one that composed those words. Because Yonah was the one who called out Mimamakim. He was in the depths, he was in the fish, and the fish was, he was spit out from one fish to another fish, and he was taken all the way down to the very, very bottom of the ocean, and from there he cried out to Hashem, especially when he was in the second fish. The first fish, it was berevach. It was a male fish. And there was plenty of room inside. And he had all the amenities of life. But when Hashem saw that he did not get the message, that Hashem demanded that he go on his mission to Nineveh and give them Musar and tell them what's going to happen, so Hashem inspired the male fish to spit him out. And he was swallowed up by a female fish. And the female fish was not so comfortable. We learned there was an astronomical number of small fish that were growing, that were developing in the womb of the female fish. And that made life for Yonah very uncomfortable. And then he said the tefillah, Shir Hamalois, Mima Makim, Kirasicha Hashem. So we say this tefillah very, very often. And it's interesting that it's very helpful that if you put yourself in his shoes, or in his flippers, you put yourself in the frame of mind of Yonah. What was Yonah thinking when he was in the fish saying those words? He realized, it's like a dilemma almost, because on the one hand, he wanted to die. He told Hashem, he told the people on the ship, throw me overboard. I am the cause of all of your problems. I am the source of all of your problems. Throw me overboard. And he expected fully to die when he would be thrown overboard. And yet, Hashem here has done a miracle for him by having him remain alive by being swallowed by the first fish and then being spit out, which is also a miracle, and being swallowed by a second fish. And the second fish, he is uncomfortable and he is alive. But his chances of getting out of this alive are almost zero. So it's a long sequence of events that overcame Yonah until he said the words, Mimamakim, from the depths, I call out to you, Hashem. It wasn't just a one-time event, yeah.
Here's Yonah, he doesn't want Nineveh to be forgiven at all, right? Don't forgive them. Or they're not going to do tshuva, it's not going to do tshuva, that's what we learn. And yet,
the Mizmor mentions.
So isn't it a steer? He already, if it's by the time he's been thrown out of the fish, he's already acknowledging the union of tshuva.
You're saying very good. You're saying very, very good. The whole Yonah is running away. Yonah is running away from. He doesn't want the people the worst way to do teshuva, because it'll be a kidrug on Klal Yisrael. And yet the entire mizmor is Shir Hamalos Mima Amakim Kirasicha Hashem Ki Hashem Shemu Kol Tino Aznech Hashem Kol Tachnoi Im Avoynos Tishmor Yo Hashem Yamod Ki Imcha Haslicha Leman Tivrei with you is forgiveness. Kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshim and Hashem v'lidvaroi hoicholti. I yearn for your words. Okay, nafshim shalom lekesh shalom lek yachli shal Hashem Next question over here, what's doing Yachal Yisrael? The entire mission of Yonah was for Nineveh, not for Klal Yisrael. So why did in this Mizma are we focusing on Yisrael? With you is Chesed, I mean, who Yifte es Yisrael? Okay, so you really, it's really good. You're touching on a lot of different issues. If this, according to the Medrash and according to the Zohar, the composer of this Mizmar is Yonah, and it's all based upon the word Mima Makim, from the depths, because there was no one in the world that ever sunk, ever was submerged to lower depths in the ocean than Yonah, and these are his words. These are his words. I mean, we always think that David wrote the whole Tehillim. That's clearly not necessarily true. Okay, David collected. In those days, there was no such thing as plagiarism. See, David also, you have to understand what Meir Zlatowicz said. Meir Zlatowicz said, what's the difference between plagiarism? He said, when you steal from one person, that's called plagiarism. When you steal from a lot of people, that's called research. What? Meir Zlatowicz. Meir Zlatowicz, the yard site was. When was the yard site? Last week. That's what he said about research. So Yonah, David HaMelech, he went and he. There are obviously many things that are original, but there are a lot of things which David took from his predecessors. Moshe Rabbeinu, Adam Harishayim. Here is another example, according to the Medrash, that this really was a composition of Yonah. Like I say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal for David to write to Hillel? He just copied from the Siddur.
The Shiram
Aleph,
weren't they used by the
Levim? No, there's a Chal. Why do we have 15 Shiram Aleph? So the Levim took from David. And where did David get it from? Okay. Where did David get it from? David took from other people to compose, to put this together. So you're saying something that is very, very good. Maybe we'll come back to this, but let's just keep that in mind for now. That this composition was by Yonah because of the words Mima Makim, and it talks about Teshuvah. And yet, when he talks about Teshuvah, which was primarily directed towards the people of Nineveh, we, Klal Yisrael, pick up upon it. We use it as a springboard for us to do Teshuvah. Okay, maybe we'll come back to that in a few moments. Let's go to some other quick, other short ideas. A few other. Okay, ideas. Okay, next idea. The next idea is. Okay, Moshe, there's a very fascinating contrast between Moshe and Yonah. It's almost as if Moshe and Yonah together is a complete pair, and one cannot be separated from another. And what do I mean? What's the source for this? It says in the Targum Yerushalmi, it's really Targum Yerushalmi, and it explains the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zois. The pasuk here is a pasuk, I think, in Nitzavim, if I'm not mistaken. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zois, ha-shonah ha-mitzavecha, the mitzvah of teshuvah that I command you, lo-i nifleisahi mimcha, it's not wondrous, v'lo-i-rechoike, he doesn't quote actually the whole pasuk here, v'lo-i-rechoike, it's not nifleisah, it's not too difficult, lo-i ba-shamayim hi, the pasuk goes on to say that it's not in heaven, Lamar mi yale lanu hashamayim v'yikochenu lanu. It's not in heaven where we would need a person to go to heaven and to retrieve it. Who does that sound like?
Moshe.
Because Moshe indeed went to heaven for 420 days to bring down the Torah. 40 days for the Luchos Rishonos, 40 days for the Luchos Shnios, and 40 days Moshe was oisek in the Teshuvah. So think about it. Over here, the Pasuk, the Pshuta Shel Mikra, is addressing Teshuvah. And it's saying it's not in Shomayim that we need a person to go to heaven to bring it down. Indeed, Moshe spent 40 of the 120 days that he was in heaven involved in Teshuvah. being mispalel to Hashem that Hashem should forgive Klal Yisrael for the chet or egel. Again, he was there for three sets of 40. 40 days for 40 days in preparation for the luchos rishonos, 40 days for the luchos shnios, and 40 days in the middle for Hashem should forgive Klal Yisrael for the chet or egel. So Taka Moshe went to Shemayim. And then what does the pasuk go on to say? And then it says, V'loy me eiver layam. Eiver layam hi. And it's not on the other side of the yam. Lemar mi yavor lanu el eiver hayam v'yikochenu lanu. Who Targum Yerushalmi says, the second half of the pasuk that it's not me eiver hayam, refers to Yonah. The first part of the pasuk is, I'll read the whole Targum. The first part of the pasuk is Lo b'Shemayim bi Eiraisa l'Meimar. Eiraisa, the Torah is not in l'Meimar alave min ein havalon chad k'Moshe. Okay, it means that we don't have someone like Moshe Rabbeinu to go di yisuk l'Shemaya. Lo meiver liyamei Rabbi hi Eiraisa l'Meimar ilave havalon chad. If we only had a person kiyona navi. So the second half of the pasuk is referring to Yonah. Yonah me'ever layam, on the other side of the yam. The Targum Yerushalmi obviously understands me'ever layam not just to mean to travel on a ship, it means to go to a place of the yam where no man has gone before. Yonah, indeed, that's what it says in many midrash, that the Yah, that by Yonah being taken into this giant fish, the giant fish took Yonah to a place where no man was able to ever go. Just like Moshe went to Shemayim, a place where no man was able to go, going down into the Yam is a place where no man can go, because we know as a fact that even if we have submarines, even the most sophisticated submarines cannot go to the extreme depths of the ocean. Okay, there are parts of the ocean that no man has ever gone before, because it's just too deep. The pressure down there is too much. A submarine can't make it. So likewise in Shemayim. Okay, we think that we already mastered going to heaven, but we know that's not so. Just because we went to the moon, doesn't mean we can go to Mars. Okay, it's a one-way trip to go to Mars. Anyone that wants to go to Mars today, there are people lining up around the bar, a whole Flatbush. You can have people lining around the whole Flatbush to be a volunteer, to be the first man to go to Mars. But guess what? It's a one-way ticket. It's a one-way ticket. There is no technology available today to bring man back. There's technology available today to send man to Mars. They can go today if they want. They have ready technology. It's a matter of money. Matter of the government giving $10 trillion to pay for it.
How long does it take?
A few years, right? And B'chol takes a few years. I think it takes a long time to get there. And there's technology available. Just a matter of enough Benjamins, enough dollar bills to pay to go to Mars. But all the money, all the king's horses, all the king's men, there's no technology to bring men back. Yonah and Moshe, you have to appreciate, not only did they go, they came back. Okay, that's not a point that is discussed. It's not always such a grace of Chachma to go. The Chachma is to be able to come back. Look at the story of Akdamis. The story of Akdamis is all about Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur, who went to the other side of the Sambat Yoin, but he never came back. And the person on the other side of the Sambat Yoin, who came onto our side to help us, to help Klal Yisrael in this disposition, this debate, whatever it was, he also did not go back. When you cross the Sambat Yoin, it's a one-way ticket. Because the Sambat Yoin, at least according to the story, the Sambat Yoin is violent, and it's impossible to pass during the week. The only time you can pass the Sambat Yoin is on Shabbos, is when it calms down, but you're only allowed to cross for Tzorech Pikuach Nefesh. So you only can cross, you can Michal Shabbos just to say, but you can't Michal Shabbos to go back. This was before Hatzalah came along with the Heterim that if you're not going to be able to go back, you're not going to go. But before those days, people were very, very idealistic, and they're willing to go and never come back. and the halacha was accepted only less than 1,000 years ago, that it's a one-way ticket. So you have to appreciate this very big chokhmah in being able to come back. And the pasuk, in fact, says that. It says in the pasuk, loy bashamayim, okay, it's not in shamayim, miyale lanu hashavika chenel lanu, and shall take it for us. Moshe has, someone has to go to Shemayim and get it and bring it back. Someone has to go Me'eder Layam and get it and bring it back. That's a kunz. It's a kunz to go, but to come back is even a bigger kunz. And what? Oh, so you want to tie that into the teshuva. It's very interesting. Be able to go and to come back. Coming back. And this medrash says there are two people that succeeded in this mission, Moshe and Yoina. And that's how the Zohar reads the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. Moshe went to Shemayim to accomplish, and he brought back the Torah, and he brought back teshuva. Yoina went Me'ever Layam. Ever Layam here means to a place in the Yam where no person can possibly go. It was only through the miracle of being swallowed up by this fish, it was able to take Yonah to a part of the world where no living creature existed. And there are these only very fascinating midrashim that say when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when this fish was swallowed by Yonah, he got a tour. The fish took him and showed him all the secrets of the world. It showed him the Leviathan. It showed him where this is all that there are things in this world where man is not privy. Man is not able to see because of his limitations. But when he was in this submarine called this big fish, he was able to see and witness all of these things. And guess what? He came back to tell us. He came back to tell us a report. So here Hashem says that may have been true, Yonah and Moshe, but now it's, you already have it in your possession, and you don't need to come on to heroics. What do we take out of this medrash? We at least take out that Yonah is being matched with Moshe. What Moshe Rabbeinu did in Shemayim, Yonah did in this world. And that gives us much better grasp on why Yonah's prophecy was focused on the Goyim, the Umay Tzolom, in contrast to Yisrael. Because Moshe, where did he go? Moshe went to the angels. He went to a place not of human beings, to Malachi Ashares, to Shemayim. When you want to go to the opposite extreme, you want to describe human beings. But there are different categories of human beings. There is Klal Yisrael. And then there are lower level human beings, the Umay Soilam, Nineveh, Goyim, who are definitely on a much lower level than Klal Yisrael. So when you contrast Moshe didn't just deal with Klal Yisrael. Moshe went to the extreme. He went to Shemayim, the Malachi Hashores. Yonah went to the Eder Layam. He went to the extreme opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to influence people who are Goyim, who are Rochik, from spirituality. Even then he was able to extract some spirituality that they should do teshuva. Nineveh, the other extreme of Moshe Rabbeinu. So every time you contrast, it's a very basic insight. Whenever you have an item that you want to appreciate, the only way you can appreciate it is by comparing it to something else. By comparing it, you bring out the unique characteristics. And when we compare Yonah to Moshe, and Moshe is definitely an extreme, and now we have an appreciation that Yonah was also an extreme, and that his whole nevuah was focused on Goyim Nineveh. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Okay, another idea is okay, now we're talking here about the Umay Sa'ilam. It's a very beautiful idea in general, but it doesn't really relate all that much to Yonah. It definitely does. It's rooted, but let's try to discuss this. Why was it necessary for Yaakov Avinu, when he got the brachos from Yitzchak, why b'hashkocha protest was it necessary that he should be disguised? He should be disguised in the clothing of Esav. Yaakov Avinu had to think in his mind. I'm sorry, about Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu had to think in his mind that when he's bestowing bracha upon giving over the brachas to his child, he's giving it to Esav. The kavana counts quite. It's not just words. When Yitzchak Avinu gave over the brachas to his child, to the next generation, he's not just giving over words. We have to appreciate that his kavana counts for quite a bit. It was meant to be b'hashgacha pratis that Yitzchak, when he gave over the brachas to his child, he thought he was giving it to Esav, when in truth, it was Yaakov Avinu. Why? Why was that necessary? So here's a very beautiful idea, and this idea comes from the Sfas Emes, and it ties this into Yonah. Yaakov Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak was no fool. Yitzchak certainly knew that who he was dealing with. He knew that he was dealing with an Esav and a Yaakov. Esav was no tzaddikal. Esav was a hunter. He was not sitting and learning. He wasn't doing ma'asim tovim. We cannot assume that Esav was was so talented that he was able to fake out Yitzchak to an extreme where Yitzchak really believed that he's a tzaddik yisoid olam. We have a right to assume that Yitzchak knew exactly who he was dealing with. He was dealing with a per adam. He was dealing with a Russia, a person who was a very problematic person. And that's why Rivka said to Yitzchak, why in the world do you want to go give this person the brachas? This person is problematic. Obviously, Yitzchak felt, you're right, he has problems, but let's look down the line, many generations later, what will become of him. Between the two, between Yaakov and Esav, which one of these two had more potential? Which one was more talented? Which one was more powerful? Esav. Esav, between Esav and Yaakov, Esav had more to offer. The problem was, he was a rough diamond. He was not yet disciplined, he was not trained, he was wild. But Yaakov, Yitzchak believed more would come forth from Esav. It's just a matter of him coming around to see the light. And if it does not happen in his lifetime, certainly those koichos hanefesh will be passed to the later generations. So think about it. When Yitzchak is giving a bracha to the one in front of him, his kavan is, you're an oisvar. You're a bad person. But deep down there's a spark of holiness. And that spark is like none other. It's even greater than Yaakov. What you're capable of is amazing. I'm giving you these brachas with the kavana that you should one day do teshuva. You should one day return to your roots, to me, to Yitzchak, and to your grandfather, to Avraham, and you should remember where you come from, and then use your koichos hanefesh to become super duper great. So what would have been if Yitzchak would have given the bracha to Yaakov? He would know good and well that Yaakov Avinu is standing right in front of him. He would say, Yaakov, you're a tzaddik. For Yaakov, ish tom yoshev aholim, Yaakov, you're a tzaddik. Keep on doing what you're doing. Stay the course. Be loyal to your traditions and just keep at it. Be strong. Bring in this world the Kiddush Hashem. What would happen if Yaakov Avinu would receive these brachas and then years later he would be nichshol in averos? He would stumble in sin. Would Yaakov Avinu be able to do teshuva? Not necessarily. Because the whole power of Klal Yisrael is all b'mesoira coming from Yitzchak and Avraham. if the bracha of Yitzchak that's being transmitted to the next generation does not include within it the ability to do teshuva, to come back, to return to your roots, then it would be that much more difficult for Yaakov Avinu to do teshuva. But look how lucky Yaakov Avinu was. Because Yaakov had to go in the disguise of Esav, and Yitzchak thought that he was giving a bracha to Esav, and he knew good and well that Esav is an Esav, he's a good for nothing, and it has to then be that the kavana of the bracha of Yitzchak to Esav is, Esav, it's okay. It's okay that you're a good for nothing, that you're a tzeach, you're a menoyif, you're a bit of a zara, you had all the problems that the world can possibly have, you got them, but you have that spark of holiness, and you'll come around one day. Instead of Esav getting that bracha, who got that bracha? Yaakov got that bracha. So that means that Klal Yisrael has built in its DNA, in the bracha of Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu, a bracha that even if we're not holding where we should, we'll come around. That could only have happened if Yaakov would go in the disguise of Esav and Yitzchak would think he's giving this bracha to Esav. Because if Yitzchak would think that he's giving a bracha to Yaakov, Yitzchak would never have a kavana, an intent in his blessing, that there should be something called teshuva, an ability to come around. Okay, Rivka held Esav, that was the fundamental machlok, is this idea correct or not? Rivka said, no, the one that should get the bracha should be Yaakov. Yitzchak held the one that should get the bracha is Esav. Behashkocha pratis, Rivka won. The bracha went to Yaakov. But there was a side benefit that came out by Hashkocha Pratis. That even Yaakov, who is the Tzaddik Yisrael Olam, in the event that he's Nichshol, he does an Avera, built into the Bracha is the ability to do Teshuva. It's an amazing art. It's a powerful, powerful Yisrael from the Sas sense. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we think we know everything. We think Hashem has there's a Yitzchak and a Rivka, they're fighting. Who deserves the bracha? Should it be Esav? Should it be Yaakov? The Ribbono Shel Olam has plans, has kavanas that are beyond our understanding. He wanted it to be that Yaakov should get the bracha. But Hashem realized that Yaakov also is weak. Yaakov also has a tendency to be Nichshol Na'avera, and Yaakov needs the tools to do teshuva. And the one that's going to give him the way he's going to have those tools is that when the bracha will be given to Yaakov Avinu, will begin with a kavana, as if Yaakov is Esav. And Yitzchak knows that Esav is a good for nothing. But still Yitzchak believed that Esav would come around. He'll come around, and therefore built into the bracha is, Esav, I'm giving you the brachas, even though now you're not worthy, but I know you'll be able to do teshuva, you'll come around. Hashem said, it's a very nice machshava, but Esav really doesn't deserve it. But Yaakov needs it. Because you're mistaken in your perception of Yaakov. Yaakov, he's not such a tzaddik like you think. Yaakov is a tzaddik, but he's weak. He'll be nichshol in avera, and he needs that ability to come back. This really is Yonah. Because Yonah is coming to teach teshuva to the Umay Sa'olam. Why is Yonah going, and Hashem is sending Yonah on a mission to tell the nations of the world, the superpower of the world at that time was Ashur, they should do teshuva. Who cares about the goyim doing teshuva? It's all a technique in order to arouse the birchas Yitzchak by going to the goyim who have absolutely nothing to offer, and saying to them, you know, come around, you can do teshuva. This awakens the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wait a minute. Yaakov Avinu is the same thing. Yaakov Avinu is the one who got the bracha, that even if they are in a situation of Esav, a situation of lowliness. They've been nichshol in avera. They also can come around and do teshuvah. Okay, so Yonah is basically, by Yonah going to Nineveh, we are reenacting the Birchas Yitzchak. And look how ironic it is. The whole kavan of Yonah, Yonah says, I am not going on this mission. You know why I'm not going on this mission? You know why? Because if I go on this mission, it's going to be mo'oyer, it's going to arouse a kitroik, an accusation against the Jewish people. What's the accusation? I'm going to tell them, boo, they're going to get scared, they're going to do teshuvah, and then they're going to say in Shemayim, look at that, here are the goyim, they're good for nothings, they're reshoim, and you say, boo, they do teshuvah. Don't you think Klal Yisrael should do teshuvah? And yet Klal Yisrael, I have sent them Nevi'im, Hashkem, V'cha'erev, every single day for years on end, and nothing doing. They're stubborn. So if Yonah says, if I go and I give them Musar, it's going to backfire, and there's going to be a kitchuk on Klal Yisrael. Just the opposite. Mamish, just the opposite. Because by Klal Yisrael, the truth is, there should not be any teshuvah. By Klal Yisrael, Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem gave us, did for us, Nisim v'Niflos, and logic dictates there should not be any possibility for Klal Yisrael to do teshuvah. Teshuvah was only originally meant for who? For Esav. That was plan A. Yitzchak wanted to give the brachos to Esav. How could Yitzchak want to give all the blessings to Esav? Well, built into giving all of the brachos to Esav is teshuvah. They'll come around. Klal Yisrael? No. You don't deserve teshuvah. Yaakov Avinu was a good guy. He's straight. He. There's no tshuva. There was no kavana that they should have the koyach of teshuvah. They don't need it. They don't need teshuvah. Yaakov Ishtan Yoishrei V'Holim. He doesn't need teshuvah. Esav is the one who needs teshuvah. That was plan A. But what happened? Hashem got in the way. Hashem got in the way, caused there to be a machlokes between Yitzchak and Rivka, caused that Yaakov had to be disguised. So it was Yaakov who was going in the disguise of Esav, got the brachas. When Yonah goes to Nineveh, and Nineveh is aroused to do teshuvah, it's basically Yaakov Avinu is coming in disguise once again. Hashem is saying, let me go, and Yonah's going to go. He's going to awaken the Ummah Yisraelim to do teshuvah. And Hashem is then going to remember that when the koyach of teshuvah was given, it wasn't given just for the goyim who takin need it. It was given even for Klal Yisrael, who ideally should not need it, but guess what? I gave it to them also.
So Yonah had no idea.
Right. So Yonah thought, by me going, I'm going to be more or a kitroig on Klal Yisrael. It's just the opposite. If you would not go, Hashem would say, Klal Yisrael, you should have known better.
Well, you have to believe that Hashem knows what he's doing.
Exactly. 100%. 100% exactly. So Yonah, the end result was is that Adarabba, it didn't just mean it was a Mo'er a Kidrei. It was a Zechus for Klal Yisrael. It awakened Hashem's awareness is that the Koyach of Teshuvah was not given only to the Ummah Yisraelim, it was given primarily to Klal Yisrael. It was a reenactment, it was a reminder, so to speak, of the whole story of Esav and Yaakov. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Okay, this is just going back for one moment. We mentioned before that Moshe and Yonah, the Shemayim, Moshe went to Shemayim and Yonah went to the depths. Just a side point is that both of them were Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Moshe said multiple times, "Mocheni no misifur chasher kasafta." And he said also, "Hargeni no haroig." Moshe many times says, "You know what? I'm willing to give up my life for Klal Yisrael. Yonah did the same thing. Yonah said, if by me going to Nineveh, it's going to cause the kitroy on Klal Yisrael, you know what? Better I don't go. Better I do not go, and I'm willing to die to give up my life. So again, just going back to that point we mentioned before, is that there is a connection between Moshe and Yonah. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, now this idea, the teshuva. Now this is a side idea. Okay, this is also like a little tangential. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael Taryag mitzvahs, and Hashem gave the Umos HaOlam Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. What's the difference between the two? And this comes out in Yonah just a bit. What's the difference in focus between Hashem giving the nations of the world Zayin mitzvahs, seven mitzvahs, and Hashem giving Klal Yisrael 613 mitzvahs? The difference is, what's the purpose of a mitzvah? Is the purpose of a mitzvah to get you to Olam Haba, and this world is just a prosdar?
No, it's to keep order in society.
Or is it to keep order in society? So the truth is, it's really both. Tayag mitzvah is really both. On the one hand, so this is the basic. It's very. I never knew this, but it's an incredible idea. And some of Farshim say it in different ways. And that is that the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach were given to them for this world. Forget about the next world. You, the Umma Yisraelam, have no understanding of what takes place in the next world. Do you have a portion in the next world? That's not our topic of discussion. Pasha says yes. A guy, of course, has some type of existence after he dies. We don't know what this means, but it's nothing comparable to the existence that Klal Yisrael experiences in the next world. The primary goal and focus of Hashem giving the Umay Sa'ilam seven mitzvahs is to survive in this world. Don't destroy my world. I created a world, and the world needs to operate with a set of rules and laws in order for the world to succeed and to thrive. Therefore, Hashem, I'm giving you Zion seven mitzvahs in order through these seven mitzvahs, b'nei noyach, you will have a good life here in this world. If you take these mitzvahs to the extreme and dwell upon what they represent and expand upon them and live with them, the world will thrive. You'll have a successful stay in this world. What's going to be in the next world after we die? Whatever. That's not your problem. You should have emuna. A guy, of course, should have emuna. There's life after death, but that's not your focus. The Taryag mitzvahs, the focus of the Taryag mitzvahs, even the seven mitzvahs from the Taryag mitzvahs, is all to focus on the next world. This world is covered by the Goyim. By them observing the Zion mitzvahs, they have established we have a place to live. The Goyim, it's their world. We're just a minority. Okay, we're just guests in the United States of America. I mean, what is the percentage of Jews in America? What are the statistics? How many Jews are there in America? The percentage? 2%? If there are about 7 million Jews in America, something like that, 6 million Jews, and there are about over 300 million citizens in this country, even more probably 350 million. If you want to go count all the illegals, it's probably a lot more. So there are a lot of, so how many Jews are there? We're dealing with 2%, 3%, not even. Okay, now among that, how many Orthodox Jews, people that are observant of Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos, in any definition that you want? Let's be very generous.
How many decimal places do you want?
Okay, so we're dealing over here. So tell me, who established this country? Just look good. The Goyim. It's not our country. As long as they're doing good, we're okay. Okay. They're, as long as they're, if they're observing the Zion mitzvah to keep this world in order, then there'll be a place for us to walk around, a street to walk on, and an economy to survive on. So what do we do? What's our role? Our role is to focus on Olam Haba, to focus on, to prepare every single moment you have in your lifetime, to use it as a moment of preparation for Nitzchias, for what takes place after the Neshama leaves his body. And for that, that role, Hashem gave Klal Yisrael Taryag Mitzvahs. 613 mitzvahs, and even the 7 mitzvahs, B'nei Noach, were given to us again at Har Sinai. The way a Jew observes the Zion mitzvahs, B'nei Noach, is not the same rules as the way a non-Jew observes the Zion mitzvahs, B'nei Noach. There are a lot of examples of this. There are different sets of rules. Everyone always gives the example of abortion. Okay, for a non-Jew to do abortion, it's much worse than a Jew doing abortion. Noach Hashem said, Adam, I forgot the pasuk. The pasuk indicates for Bnei Noach that there is a prohibition to take the life of a human being, even when he's within another human being. In other words, a fetus. The sin of murder is equal to an unborn baby, whereas for a Jew, ritzicha, it's not true. There is no din ritzicha the rules are different. I'm not getting into all the details, but the rules are vastly different than dealing with the non-Jews. And every one of the Zion mitzvahs, B'nei Noach, has those, there are examples of this principle, that the laws for Klal Yisrael are not the same. Why is that so? Because Hashem gave us the Taryag mitzvah, it's not to focus on this world. This world is covered. This world, it's their world. It's the Goyim. The nations of the world, they are in charge of maintaining this world. They have 7 mitzvahs which they develop on, which they use as a guide to make sure this world remains intact. We come as guests into this world, and we are given a guide, Taryag mitzvahs, to use to prepare not for this world for us just transient, for Olam Haba. So there's a very different approach to the Zion mitzvahs versus the Taryag mitzvahs. Yonah is going on a mission for us, because if we live in a, if we don't have a place to stay, then we're finished. We can only, one of the big questions everyone asks, the basic questions of Sefer Yonah is, what is Sefer Yonah all about? What is it doing in the Sifrei Nevi'im? The Sifrei Nevi'im primarily is a Musar for Klal Yisrael. It's not Musar for the Umay Sa'ilah. So why is there a Sefer Navi which deals exclusively with the Nineveh, the Umay Sa'ilah, has nothing really to do with Klal Yisrael? So everyone struggles, everyone gives a different answer to Hashov, that no, it is very relevant for us. And we discuss everything we touch upon really gives an answer. But among the answers is a very fascinating idea, is to appreciate the difference between Taryag Mitzvahs and the Zion Mitzvahs. The Zion Mitzvahs and Noach are here to preserve this earth. Taryag mitzvahs, even among the Taryag mitzvahs, which include the Zion mitzvah, we're given again, it's all a guide for Olam Haba. If we don't have a place, you don't have a baseball stadium, you can't play baseball. You need a place, an environment where you can prepare and train for Olam Haba. Yonah and the Sefer is teaching us, Klal Yisrael has a mission to the Umay Sa'olam that they should be good for selfish reasons, almost. It's not just that we care about them, which we do. It's not just that they should be observant, they should recognize the Creator and not engage in all of the terrible averos. But if the Goyim don't behave themselves, then this world will self-destruct. And if the world will self-destruct, we will not be able to prepare for Olam Haba. And that's why, you know, it fits so well. It fits so well that we read this on Yom Kippur. Yeah?
Is that something like the Hirsch concept of being or Lagoyim?
I don't think it relates to that. It's more selfish. The Rav Hirsch concept is more idealistic. It's more we care about them. They have to have spirituality. Rav Hirsch is taking us out of the picture. I'm saying something over here that's much more selfish. That we need them to behave, not only because of Rav Hirsch that we care about them. It's true, but we need them to behave because if the less that they behave, the less opportunities we have to serve Hashem. It's not one size fits all. It's not like, okay, so the Goyim, they're very, very bad. Okay, but they're not so bad to the point where Hashem's going to destroy the world. No. If they're almost holding where Hashem's going to destroy the world, so Hashem will basically shut down most of the world. That will mean that we will have much, much less of an opportunity to serve Hashem. Our ability to observe the Taryag Mitzvahs, to prepare for Olam Haba, is directly proportional to their observance of the Zion Mitzvahs in order to maintain an environment and a setting for us to do the Taryag Mitzvahs. You cannot play baseball if you don't have a baseball stadium. And the nicer baseball stadium you have, with all of the modern conveniences and all of the perks, and the more pleasurable the baseball game is, self understood, right? The new Yankee Stadium is a step up than the old Yankee Stadium. No, okay, it's certainly better than Dodgers Field, right? before my time, but we don't appreciate this. We think the Goyim, let them rot. Let them do more Averis. The more Averis they do, the better. That way they'll be obliterated from the face of the earth. Hashem is saying to Yonah, you're making a big mistake. Because your opportunities to do Taryag Mitzvahs, which are only for Olam Haba, it cannot be done in the desert. It cannot be done. No, it has to be done in a world that has a healthy economy, has benefits, has stability, has peace. If the Goyim are observing the Zion Mitzvahs, the Zion Mitzvahs are not for Olam Haba. The Zion Mitzvahs are to preserve Olam Hazeh. You have to appreciate that point. Their goal when they do the Zion Mitzvahs, it's not about, by not killing someone, I'm going to go to Olam Haba. No. By not killing someone, he's not going to kill you. Okay, no one's going to kill your children. It's purely a guide to live in this world, to serve Hashem in a way that this world, you'll have a good life here in this world. When they have a good life in this world, and the earth, this world is stable and secure and healthy and vibrant, then we can enter and we can take the guide of the Taryag Mitzvahs and use this world that Hashem gave them as a playground, a sandbox, to thrive and prepare, use every single moment to prepare for Olam Haba. That is Hashem's message to Yonah. Yonah, you're making a big mistake. You think, I can't go to Nineveh, they're doing Averos. Wonderful, they're doing Averos, do more Averos. More, so you'll self-destruct. And you won't exist, and you won't bother us. And we have Shalom al Yisrael. Hashem says, no, it's not the way it goes. It's a double-edged sword. If they don't exist, then you don't exist. Because if they're not going to exist, no one's going to bother you. That's right, no one's going to bother you, but they wouldn't. If you would do teshuva, they anyway wouldn't bother you. But by their existing and their being successful in this world, you will be able to better serve me. And that is a critical lesson, that Klal Yisrael has to appreciate, is that we need them. It's not like Rav Hirsch, or Michal mentioned Rav Hirsch, that we care about them. Absolutely, we care about them. Many, many of our Chazal that discuss that. But it's selfish. Let's go down to the bare facts. If you don't want to be idealistic, you don't want to be very, very pure, be practical. Let's just be practical. We need them. We need them to be successful so we have an opportunity. Chayiv Adam Lema Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Hashem created the world just for me. That just... No, why should it be contradiction? Every person, a person has to appreciate that he's important. That he serves a purpose. He serves a purpose in this world. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Okay, now this is something where I'm recording from this sefer called the Mishpat Zav. It's a very chashuv sefer, by the way. It just put out last week a new volume on Yeshaya. Okay, this sefer is one Pulitzer Prize. Okay, if they would give awards for Sfarim, they would give this Mechaber. It's called Mishpat Zav. Yes, Shabsi Sheftel Weiss. Okay, he lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he put out already a number of volumes. We used this when we did other volumes. We did on the Chumash Megillos. Wait, what do we use them? The Chumash Megillos, and I think Daniel. I use this extensively. Remember, a long time ago, 100 years ago, we learned Daniel together here. So I use it extensively when we learn Sefer Daniel. Daniel, and he just put out now this week. I saw on my Twitter feed, he put out Yeshaya. Okay, this is it was supposed to have come out, I think, even 2 years ago. Something obviously happened. It took a long time for him to put out. I heard about it. He's shy very soon. But he put out, he just put out Yeshaya. So he's here. Mostly it's coming from the Hakdama, from this Sefer. He has a Sefer on Yonah. Now, this is something which he discusses there 100 times. He keeps on coming back to this. And that is, Yonah had this fear that he would be accused of being called a Navi Sheker. Okay, remember, we discussed this many times. Yonah is coming to Nineveh, and Yonah is going to say to Nineveh, Nineveh, my message to you is you will be destroyed in 40 days. In 40 days, Nineveh Nepeches. And I know what's going to happen. They're going to do Teshuvah, and Hashem is not going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days. He'll destroy it in 40 years. Okay? So in the meantime, they're going to say, I'm a liar. Because I said it will be destroyed in 40 days, and it's not. It's taking 40 years, so they're going to say, I'm a liar. So what? Who cares? What do you expect, Yonah? Yonah, what do you expect? When a Navi comes and a Navi tells you're going to be destroyed, there's an understanding that the reason why he's coming to tell you you're going to be destroyed is because Hashem wants you to do teshuvah, so he will not destroy you. Right? Right? So that's the obvious question.
And they did teshuvah.
So they did teshuvah, exactly.
So 40 years later, they obviously didn't work.
But he said 40 days. Yonah's words that he was told to say over that Nineveh will be
Nepeches. He's a Navi. He has to know that. But he has to.
Hashem put the words in his mouth. Go tell them Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. Yonah says, if I go to Nineveh and I say Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days, what's going to happen? They're going to do teshuvah. And when they do teshuvah, Nineveh is not going to be destroyed. And then
destroyed.
They're going to
say
Nepeches. Amapecha. So Rashi says, one or the other. Either they're going to do teshuvah and it's going to be overturned for good, from a state of rishis to a state of tzidkus, or it means there's going to be fire and brimstone. But they're not such lamdanim. Okay, the people of Nineveh, they're not such lamdanim. When they says the word nepeches means fire and brimstone, it means destroyed. So Yonah says, that's how the common man is going to understand the word nepeches. They're going to do teshuvah, and the city is not going to be destroyed. They're going to go back to the videotape, instant replay, and they're going to see me saying, like they always say about Bush Senior, they said, read my lips. No new taxes. So how many times did they replay that in the media? Read my lips. No new taxes. Baloney. Look at all the new taxes. That's why he was thrown out of office to some degree. Not that's not really true. But anyway, okay, he was a flip flopper. Okay. No, I'm sorry, you can't talk now. You can't talk now. Not now.
Why not No.
Let me first finish the thought and then you'll comment.
40 days for let me days, first 40 days let, for that. 40 days for that.
Let me first finish the thought and then we'll hear. Yonah, they're going to go back to the replay. They're going to go back to the replay. Let me first finish the thought, and then we'll answer your question. I'm middle of speaking. Let me finish the thought. So 40. What's the discrimination? What's they're going to go back? They're going to go back to the replay, and they're going to see that he said 40 days ninveh nepeches, and it turns out that it's a lie. He's terrified of this, and therefore it's so such a horror in his eyes, he's willing to commit suicide. He's willing to disobey a direct order. When he's on the ship, he tells them, throw me overboard, and then when he's in the fish, he still refuses to go until Hashem squeezes him, until Hashem tortures him by putting him into a female fish, and it's very uncomfortable. What's going on over here? That's what a Navi does. A Navi tells you bad news, you do teshuva, and then things turn out for you better. Okay, so we never really had a good answer to this question. And there's another piece of the puzzle, which the author of this Sefer, Rabbi Weiss, comes back to many, many times, and he says, Yonah, this was Yonah's third Nevuah. Yonah was third major Nevuah. Yonah was so far one for one. What was his first Nevuah? Okay, the first Nevuah is in Sefer, I think Sefer Nachum, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm sorry, I'm Sefer Melachim, Sefer Melachim. There was a war. There was a war, and a significant chunk of territory was taken away from Klal Yisrael, the hands of an enemy. Okay? And he gave a Nevuah, do not worry, the land will be restored. The land will be restored, there'll be a battle, and indeed that Nevuah came true. Okay, so that was very good. He gave a Nevuah, don't worry, we're going to go to war, we're going to get back, we're going to repossess the territory that was taken away from us in war by our enemies. And Kachava, he was right, they went to war, they succeeded, and they took back their territory. Very good, he has a good record. Next record. The next record was, he says in Nevuah, that the people of Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. Okay, there's another episode, which we do not have all the details, but this is what it says in the Medrash. We do not have all the details. That this the Yonah, and Yonah lived, we're assuming that they lived during the time of the Aseres HaShvatim. During the time of the Aseres HaShvatim, and there was some incident in Yerushalayim, in Yehuda, where people were misbehaving. Okay, and he told them that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. Can you believe that? Not talking about the Churban Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. We're holding way before that. Way, way back. They were misbehaving. There was corruption. And he said, all of you people... Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. How do you like that? And guess what happened? The people did teshuva, and Yerushalayim was not destroyed. Yerushalayim was not destroyed. And they then made a campaign, a smear campaign, when he was up for re-election, to renew his license for being reinstated to be, to extend his term as a Navi, his prophetic license, very good. When they went to renew his license, they said that Yon is a Navi Sheker. Because Yonah said that Yerushalayim will be destroyed. Will be destroyed. And it wasn't destroyed. Now here's what he said. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of depth here. A lot of heavy duty stuff, which changes the entire Yonah from beginning to end. When you appreciate this medish and the way he develops it, and some things that I'm saying doesn't say here, but I'm going to expand upon it. Yonah says, Yonah, this is critical what happened here. He told the people, Yerushalayim will be destroyed because you're all misbehaving. The people took it to heart. And they did teshuvah, and Yerushalayim was not destroyed. They did not believe that it was because of their teshuvah Yerushalayim was spared. The MS was Hashem saw them do teshuvah. Hashem was satisfied. Hashem forgave them. B'leiv sholem. The zedoinos naseh kizuchuyos, and Yerushalayim was spared. It was as if it never happened. Because the tshuva is so great, Shemagas al kisi hakovid, zidoinos nasek is zechuyos. But the people living in Yerushalayim, it was too hard to swallow. Too good to be true. It was too good to be true that by davening and fasting a little bit here and there and doing a little teshuva, giving some tzedakah, that Hashem really forgave them for their averos. So here they go. They look at the situation. Yonah says Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. They have a fast day. They have a fast day. And they do teshuva. They listen. And then everything works out okay, a-okay. And they look back and they say, you know, in hindsight, all the editorials in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, they say, in hindsight, all the big, the grosser chachamim, okay, the grosser, the kleine chachamim there, what do they say? They say, in hindsight, Yonah was just a, what do they say? He was just a false alarm.
It was
a false alarm. He was an alarmist. He made us do teshuvah, and we did teshuvah. And now when we look at the political, what? And obviously when he was telling them to do teshuvah, obviously there was a political danger. There were things going on in the world that were very dangerous, and things could have worked out very, very difficult. He could have been destroyed. And everything just happened to work out the good way. They got a good president of the United States who was a friend to Israel, and they gave them money, and they gave them defense, and this and that. And everything worked out. And then, on the anniversary of the day when the Gedolei Yisrael called for Yom Tzoyim, and everyone was fasting, and they went to the Kosel, and there was a Yom Atzeres Tefillah. So the alarmists in the newspapers, the editorial, they say, you see the Haredim, they're crazy. They went, they made this big fast day a year ago. Everyone had a fast. They learned Vayichal. And everyone went to the Kosel. And they made Takonis. What to do. Not to talk Lashon Hara. It was all just a show. Because look, everything worked out for the best. Look who won the election in America. Look how much money Congress passed to give to the state of Israel. Everything worked out for the best. It wasn't because the Jews prayed. That's what even we'll say, right? So then, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is, Yonah's on record, they take out the replay, Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. Where? What? The Medrash says this. You want chapter and verse? I will give you. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. V'cheinu b'yalkit shmoini. V'cheinu b'yalkit shmoini. You want exactly, here we go. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, Perik Mem Beis. Perik Mem Beis. Okay, go look it up. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. They called him a Navi Sheker. Oh, Navi Sheker. Now, let me tell you the pshat, and let me tell you the drush of how this Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer changes the entire Sefer Yonah from beginning to end, turns it around upside down on its head. Yonah's big question was, the big question about Yonah and the whole Sefer is, how dare Yonah disobey a direct order? Hashem told him to go to Nineveh. He disobeys a direct order. How dare he do this? Yonah said, I'm not a Navi. Okay. I'm not a Navi. There's a halacha that a Navi is not allowed to be koivesh nivu asai. The only time a Navi is not allowed to be koivesh nivu asai is when he is accepted as a Navi. He has a license. Where's your badge? Show us your license. Where's your license? I need to see a license that you have a license to serve a prophecy. Yonah's license was revoked. Who revoked it? Klal Yisrael. It was revoked. Because Yonah, even though he started out good, Yonah had a very good reputation because he predicted that the land would be restored in the battle. The territory that was taken away and came back. But in the second major prophecy that Yerushalayim would be destroyed, he was proven to be a liar. Because Yerushalayim was thriving. And the truth was, he was right. And the only reason why Yerushalayim was not destroyed was because the people did teshuvah. Or at least enough people did teshuvah. What? He was not a liar. But people, but the common man labeled him as a liar because the people did not believe. It was too hard to believe that their koyach of teshuvah is so great. They didn't believe in themselves. The people did not believe in themselves that their koyach of teshuvah is so great. It was able to overturn the gezerah ra on Klal Yisrael. They didn't believe in it. They did teshuvah. And only because they did teshuvah, Yerushalayim was not destroyed. But had they not done teshuvah, Yerushalayim would have been destroyed. So Yonah was another emes. But the editorials, a year later, when they looked back in hindsight, they attributed everything to political reasons. And Yonah was viewed as an extremist. He was an alarmist. And they didn't want to believe him. So they said he was a meshugana. He was an alarmist. So therefore, we are revoking his license to preach as a prophet. So Yonah said, my license has been revoked. And therefore, Hashem is now sending me another message, another MS. I have now a message. I should go to Nineveh and tell them what's going to happen. I'm not going. I don't have to go anymore. Because my license has been revoked. And that's why there's no prohibition for me to go stay home and not go and not let someone else do it. Someone who still has a license. Okay, now, that's the pshat. Now, let me tell you the drush. Let me tell you the drush. The drush is, Yonah was thrilled. He was thrilled that he was a Navi Sheker. Because the nevuah that he said was so horrible, I'm willing to lose my license as long as Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is not destroyed. Gewaldig. I gave over a nevuah, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh Tzchorav. I see the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Do you know what this is? What a horror. We don't appreciate this because we don't know from nothing. But you know what kind of statement that is? You know what kind of horror? There's nothing more horrific than giving over such a prophecy. Was it a Nevuah MS? It sure was at the time. But the only reason why Taka did it not happen, because they did teshuvah. Oh, Gival, they did teshuvah. They didn't even realize the Koyach of their teshuvah. So they said, Yonah is a Navi Sheker. Okay? If Yonah now goes to Nineveh, and he tells them in Nineveh, in 40 days from now, Nineveh nepeches. Nineveh is going to be destroyed. If Itaka happens, that Nineveh is destroyed, which it was destroyed, the only question was how long it's going to take to be destroyed. And when you tie, and when you embellish this with the Chaim HaSanach, that by Goyim, there's no teshuva, and the best is, you can stall for 40 years. Nineveh ne'peches in 40 days, and you'll figure out what that means. And there, the Goyim, they're much more receptive. Oh, we'll do teshuva. Yonah will come out in the newspapers when everything is over, when the whole episode of Nineveh is over, it will result that Yonah is a Navi Emes in the episode of Nineveh. Now, Yonah got a very big problem now. Because now, what will his record be? He's going to be 2-for-1. Because the first Nevuah, undisputable, he was a Navi Emes. The first Nevuah was what? The battle. There was a battle, and territory was taken away by the Goyim. The Goyim went and seized a significant chunk of territory. And he gave over a Nevuah that the territory would be restored, and this turned out to be Emes. The second Nevuah, that Yerushalayim would be destroyed, it was accepted that it's a Nevuah of Sheker. So he's 1-for-1. He's now 1-for-1. What's going to happen now when it comes to the last Nevuah of Nineveh, if it turns out that it's going to be a Navi Emes? Then he's going to be 2-for-1. Two were correct. One, people are now going to say, Limafreya, you know something? What's wrong? You know, people are now going to say that the other Nevuah of Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed is Emes. It's taka true. If this third Nevuah comes true, or the people perceive it being true, then it means that the Nevuah that Yerushalayim will be destroyed, they're going to go back and they're going to say, wait a minute, this Navi is not a Navi Sheker. This is a Navi Emes. He was right the first time. He was right the third time. It may very well just be that he was right the second time, and Yerushalayim will be destroyed. It's just the timing is off. We thought that the whole episode passed. The Nevuah is still going to come true. It would put Klal Yisrael into a panic. Okay? It would put Klal Yisrael into a panic, and it would put also Yonah into a panic. Then look at that. My Nevuah that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed is true. Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh will be destroyed. That's a horror. He wanted that he should be a Navi Sheker so that the Nevuah of Yerushalayim being destroyed will not happen. The only time a Nevuah can be considered to be a Nevuah, the only time a Nevuah can be a Nevuah's MS is only when the people are accepting it. The rules of Nevuah demand that the people believe in the Nevuah. If the people do not believe in the Nevuah, then the Nevuah is not called a Nevuah. Yonah said horrible words. Yerushalayim will be destroyed. At the end of the day, Yonah was probably questioning himself. Maybe I am a Navi Sheker. Because Yerushalayim was not destroyed. And the people, my reputation in society is that you were wrong because Yerushalayim was not destroyed. Yonah was very happy that he was a Navi Sheker. He maybe even believed himself, I'm a Navi Sheker, because Yerushalayim was not destroyed. But now if I go on another mission, I give over another Nevuah, and this Nevuah turns out to be a Nevuah of Emes, and the people, they look at me as being a Navi Emes, and they're going to remember that when it came to the battle, I was also Navi Emes, and that means two of my three Nevuahs were Emes. They're going to go back and study my second Nevuah, and they're going to say, you know something? When Yonah said Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed, this was a Nevuah of Emes. And Yonah's going to say, that means I'm a Navi Emes. And that means Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. I cannot live with that. So Yonah disobeyed a direct order, did not go on the third mission, because right now, halachically, I'm a Navi Sheker. He convinced himself I'm a Navi Sheker. I told them Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. Yerushalayim was not destroyed. And people assume that I'm a Navi Sheker. If they aren't telling me I'm a Navi Sheker, gewaldic, I'm a Navi Sheker. So the Nevuah that I gave over to the people that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed is Sheker. You cannot make me happier than when you tell me, you revoke my license, that I'm a Navi Sheker, and this that I said Yerushalayim will be destroyed is Kula Sheker. That there's nothing in this world that can make me happier than that. But now Hashem is sending me another mission. I should go to Nineveh and tell them that Nineveh is going to be destroyed. If it turns out, ultimately, that Nineveh is destroyed, so that means Nineveh is going to be destroyed. That means I am a Navi. MS! And then the world is going to pull out my record, and they're going to analyze all of my nevuos, and they're going to see, listen, if two of the three times he said something and he was proven to be MS, it has to be then that we were mistaken. When we thought he was a Navi Sheker in between time number two, he wasn't really a Navi Sheker. He was a Navi MS. He was a Navi MS. So when he said Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed, Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. That's bad news. That is why Yonah disobeyed the direct order. If at this moment in time I am considered to be a Navi Sheker, there's nothing that can make me happier. I'm not mechuyif to go on any more missions, and Yerushalayim is not going to be destroyed. Hashem twisted his arm. He forced him to go and become a Navi a third time. And that third Nevuah came true. And when that third Nevuah came true, he's now 2 for 1. His record is reevaluated. He's a Navi MS. A Navi MS that is predicting that Yerushalayim is going to predicting that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. This is a Churban for Klal Yisrael. It's not something that he can deal with. And that gives some appreciation as to why he disobeys. So it comes out over here. This Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer is so critical to appreciate the entire sequence of events in Sefer Yonah. We're starting, Yonah starts off in a matzev where he was 1 for 1. The battle was MS. The destruction of Yerushalayim, he was considered to be Sheker, he was delegitimized, his license was revoked, and then we enter into Sefer Yonah, I'm a Navi Sheker, Baruch Hashem, Yerushalayim's not going to be destroyed, I lost my license, there's nothing for me to do, why are you bothering me, Hashem, to go on a mission to Nineveh? And then when Hashem twists his arm, the revelation retroactively becomes all that much more painful. All right, tomorrow we have more things to discuss. No, we're not finished yet. More things to discuss tomorrow. Let's squeeze out every moment.